Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the why question with six kinds of poverty. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We have been studying the why question, asking ourselves why, if there is a God who is all good and all loving and who made the world, well, why is this world often such a terrible place and in such a mess? And one of the sad situations we face in this world is the reality of poverty. And this is becoming even more common in our country right now as I'm recording this, as due to the hysterical fear of a virus, which has not yet proven itself to be nearly as deadly as many of the doomsayers say it could be bad. Hasn't been near that bad yet, but it could be. So we shut down our economy, and the result is that many people have lost their jobs. Many people's businesses are going out of business. Their hopes and dreams are being crushed. And it all will end in many, many more people being in poverty than were in poverty before. So we ask ourselves, why does God allow poverty in this world? Why does the good and generous God allow poverty? Well, as we look at the Bible has a lot to say about poverty. And in the book of Proverbs, which maybe has the most to say about the poor, we find that there are six kinds of poverty mentioned. Six kinds of poverty in Proverbs. And we won't just look at Proverbs, we'll look at some other books too. But we'll find that many of our passages will be in Proverbs, talking about the poor. And the first kind of poverty is the Hebrew rush or resh. Depending on whether you're talking about poor or poverty. And this kind of poverty means lacking the necessaries of life. We talk about food, clothing, shelter. Well, the rush are lacking these necessaries of life. And what does the Bible, and particularly the book of Proverbs, have to say about those who are rush, poor, lacking the necessaries of life? Well, in Proverbs 10 and verse 4, it says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." So this proverb, and the Proverbs are all about advice for life, and particularly in the context of a ruler, because it's being written to a king's son who's going to take the throne next. And it tells him that a slack hand leads to poverty, whereas diligence leads to riches. And so there's a warning. It's good to be diligent. Now, of course, this is a rule of thumb. It's not an absolute law. And if the government forces you to shut down your business, of course, it doesn't matter whether you're diligent or not. But generally, diligence helps lead to wealth, and laziness, slackness, helps lead to poverty. Proverbs 13, verse 18 says, "Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored." So this verse tells us that both poverty and shame will come to those who will not allow themselves to be corrected when they're wrong. And this is an important thing, a wise thing from the Bible, is that we need to be willing to accept instruction, even when that instruction is telling us, you're wrong. You aren't right. You've been doing something wrong. You've been doing things the wrong way. Oh, that's hard. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that I've been messing things up. But poverty and shame tends to come to those who won't listen to anyone telling them good advice, that they're wrong. Proverbs 14 and verse 20 says, "The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends." Now, this is an interesting one, isn't it? It tells us that there are plenty of people who are willing to be friends to a rich person, but that even those closest to the poor want to have little to do with them because, of course, they can't see anything they can get out of the poor. People see plenty they can get out of the rich. Of course, one asks the question, how genuine is that friendship that the rich get? But still, it's the truth, isn't it? Proverbs 19 and verse 1 says, again, a ruch or resh type of poverty, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So this tells us something, that it's better to be poor, it's better to lack the necessities of life and yet walk in integrity. And walk, of course, there stands for how you live your life. It's good to live your life in integrity and honesty, in good moral standards, than to be perverse with your lips, lying and untrue, and be a fool. Now understand, fool in the book of Proverbs is used for one who is morally deficient, not necessarily mentally deficient. So it's good for a poor person to have integrity. It's better to be poor and have integrity than even to not be poor and yet have none. So that's a good thing to remember, even in poverty. Proverbs 22 and verse 2. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. This is a good thing for the rich and the poor and those in between to remember. You know, sometimes the rich and the wealthy can get thinking that they're a better animal, that they're a better human being than all other creatures, than all other people, because they're rich. Yet the Bible says, look, the Lord made both poor and rich. He made them both. So don't think you're better somehow just because you're rich, or that you're inferior somehow just because you're poor. And finally, we'll look at farush or resh type of poverty, Proverbs 28 and verse 3, which says, a poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. So one who lacks the necessaries of life, and who therefore turns to others who also lack the necessaries of life and oppresses them, what an empty thing that is. That's like a rain that doesn't grow your crops. That's what you need rain for, right? Is to grow plants. What good is a rain that doesn't? Well, that's what it's like, a poor person who oppresses other poor people. It doesn't help anything. So that's the first kind of poverty. Second kind of poverty is the Hebrew dal, which means impoverished or reduced. Basically, at one time you had more and now you're reduced. That's what's happened to a lot of people, like I said, during this coronavirus hysteria. Now, Leviticus 19 and verse 15 sets forth a very important principle for those who are reduced. It says, Leviticus 19, 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. So this is speaking to judges, to rulers, to people in charge. And it's warning them, don't favor those in reduced circumstances, and don't favor those who are powerful and have plenty. Don't favor either one. Instead, do righteous judgment. Decide for the poor if he's right. Decide for the rich if he's right. Don't favor the poor just because he's poor, and don't favor the rich just because he's rich. Do the right thing and decide for the one who's actually in the right, whether rich or poor. And there are some people who are always going to favor the poor just because they're poor, and other people are always going to favor the rich just because they're rich. Well, those people don't do justice. That's not right. Favor the one who's in the right. Doesn't matter if they're poor or rich. The Proverbs now, this word dull, the reduced. Proverbs 10 and verse 15 says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. And isn't that the truth? When you have wealth, that wealth can protect you from harm. But often the poor are simply defenseless. Who's going to stand up for them? Who's going to speak for them? They can't buy any protection. They're in trouble. It leads to their destruction. Sad but true. Proverbs 19 and verse 17 says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. So it's good to pity those in reduced circumstances, and to take pity on them, to actually act on it. Well, someone who does that, he says, lends to the Lord. The Lord looks at that and views that as favor to him when you take pity on those in reduced circumstances. Proverbs 28 and verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. Isn't this true? Often the rich are arrogant. They think that they're so much smarter than everyone else because they're rich. But a poor man with understanding can see through that. He can see whether the rich man is really so smart or not. Sometimes rich people are smart. Sometimes they're not. But often the rich man can't see which one is the case. It takes a poor man to see whether he's really so smart as he thinks he is. Proverbs 28 and verse 15. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. And isn't that the truth? Would you want to face a roaring lion? Would you want to face a charging bear? Of course not. Well, I'll tell you what, the last thing you want to face, if you're a poor person, is a wicked ruler, a wicked person in charge of the government. They're more dangerous to you as a poor person than anything else. You need good and righteous people in government. Otherwise, if you're poor, you're in trouble. So who our government rulers are is very, very important, especially for the poor. Isaiah 11 and verse 4, finally, for this word dull, reduced, says, But with righteousness he that is the Lord shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. So Christ will judge the poor with righteousness in his kingdom. And of course, what else would he expect from Jesus Christ? Well, that's our second kind of poverty. Our third kind of poverty, chaser, or machor. And those words mean in want, lacking, just lacking what you need. Proverbs 11:24 says, There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. It leads to want, to lack. And sometimes, this verse is telling us, those who give away will actually increase because of it. Whereas others who refuse to give anything, who hoard everything, actually it leads to lack. And that's true. Often, wisely giving away what you have can lead to gaining more, and refusing to can lead to loss. Proverbs 14 and verse 23 says, In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. So this tells us that basically that talking rather than working leads to lack. You need to actually work. But people who talk big about all the work they're going to do and never do it, well, that leads to want. That leads to lack. Proverbs 21 and verse 5 says, The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. So while working hard leads to plenty, hastiness, rashness, acting without thinking through, without planning, well, that leads to lack, to want. And finally, Proverbs 28 and verse 22. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches, and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. So having an evil eye, not caring who you hurt, and hurrying after riches can lead to want, to lack. So make sure you don't just step on other people in your haste to get rich, because that can lead to lack in the end. Well, that's the third kind of poverty. The fourth kind of poverty is anah. And anah means simply wretched. Wretched. Just the kind of person you think of sitting there in rags on the street. Wretched. We look at this one first in Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 through 15, which says, You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor or needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. Each day you shall give him his wages and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord and it be sin to you. Now understand that hired servants were day laborers. When you needed extra hands, you'd hire them for one day. And then the next day they have to look for work again. Well, he says, don't withhold. At the end of the day, give them their pay. Don't you dare withhold it. That's oppression. They're wretched. They need that pay to live that day. So don't you dare ever withhold it from them. You might say, this is not my hired worker. I care more about my workers who work for me all the time than about these day laborers. So who cares if I stiff them? Well, the Lord says, no, don't you dare do it. They're wretched. They need it. Psalm 35 and verse 10. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him. And the psalmist here praises the Lord for delivering the needy, those who are wretched, in wretched circumstances because of poverty. Psalm 68 and verse 10 says, your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor, for the wretched. God prepares his goodness for them. Psalm 72 and verse 4, he will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the sons of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. So God shall judge the poor of the people. He'll bring justice to them. And in Psalm 82 verses 1 through 4, God speaks his command to wicked rulers. And what does he tell them? Psalm 82, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. These are the rulers over the nation. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy, the wretched. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. So God's command to rulers is to defend the poor. Defend them. Don't take advantage of them. Well, every ruler better take note that that is what God demands he do. Proverbs 14 and verse 21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. So the one who has mercy on the anah, on the wretched, well, he is happy because God notes it and God will remember. Proverbs 15 and verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. So every day for a wretched person, it says, is a bad day. But this is talking about not just being wretched in circumstances, but wretched in heart and in attitude, because it says, one who has a merry heart, every day is like a continual party. So he says, sometimes your wretchedness is in your attitude. If your attitude is wretched, every day is bad. If your attitude is happy, every day is like a party. Depends on your attitude. Well, there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? And finally, for Anah, the wretched, we'll look at Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Ezekiel here speaks of what God's complaint against Sodom was when he destroyed them. He says, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, the wretched. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. So this tells us part of what Sodom did, part of their problem, not all of it, because they also committed sexual abomination. But part of their problem was that Sodom was idle and had plenty, and she didn't help the poor, the wretched. She didn't care. That was part of God's anger against her. Well, that's the fourth kind of poverty. The fifth is ebion. Ebion means destitute, helpless, or deficient in will and in wealth. So the destitute. Deuteronomy 15 says this about it. It says, except when there may be no poor, no destitute among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. So Jehovah promised that if they obeyed him, there would be no poor among them in Israel, if they were careful to observe all his commands. You say, wow, what a promise God gave to Israel. Yeah, but look at verse 11, the same chapter. He says that you will always have poor among you. Why is that? Well, because he knew very well that everyone in Israel wouldn't always be careful to keep his commands. So much for that. But in spite of the fact that he promised them there'll be no poor if you all obey me, does that mean, well, we shouldn't take care of the poor then because it's their own fault? No, because in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 15, he says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, You shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. So he says, you will not refuse to help a poor brother. Don't do that. Psalm 107, verse 41 says, yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. And again, this is talking about God's kingdom. Yahweh will set the poor on high in his kingdom to come. Psalm 109 and verse 31 says to the Lord, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. So the Lord would stand at the right hand of the poor like their defense lawyer to save them from those who want to condemn them just because they're poor and they think they can oppress them. Finally, in Isaiah 25 and verse 4, for you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. So here the psalmist says that Jehovah has been a strength to the needy, to the destitute and the helpless in their distress. So that's the fifth kind of poverty. Finally, the sixth is Yerash. And the Yerash poor means the dispossessed. Those who used to possess and have been dispossessed, the Yerash. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 7 says, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. So this tells us that Yahweh, the Lord, makes poor and makes rich. What does this mean? Does this mean that every time someone's poor, it's because the Lord wanted them to be? And every time someone's rich, it's because the Lord wanted them to be? No. No, see, you can't reason from the particular to the general. There are some people God has made rich, like Job, like Abraham. He's blessed them, like Joseph. He blessed them and they became rich. Other people he punished and they became poor or lost everything, like Nabal. And yet that doesn't mean that every time someone's poor, it's because the Lord did it, and every time someone's rich, it's because the Lord did it. He does this sometimes, but I don't think he necessarily does this at all in the dispensation of grace in which we live. He's pouring out the riches of his grace, not deciding who's rich and who's poor. That just wouldn't be gracious. But Yahweh can make people dispossessed. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you'll be satisfied with bread. So he says, if you just love sleep so much that you're always sleeping and resting, well, you might be dispossessed. You might lose your home. You might lose everything because you're just too lazy to earn the money to keep it. So don't love sleep too much. You need some sleep for health, of course, but don't love it too much. Finally, Proverbs 23 and verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. So here's a warning. Drunkenness, alcoholism, and of course drug use would go in there, the same category, and gluttony, overeating, overindulging your desires, and drowsiness, again laziness, all these things bring to dispossession and end you up dressed in rags. So stay away from alcoholism, drug addiction, gluttony, and laziness, because those all can lead to poverty. So we see in these verses that thought and diligence can deliver from poverty, but there are plenty of causes that can lead to poverty, and it's wise for God's people to stay away from them. It was the Lord's constant command to remember the poor, and he said there's no excuse for not doing it. If you have plenty, don't think you're better. Don't think you're above the poor. God wanted his people to help the poor. Ultimately, we will always have the poor with us, as it says, until God's kingdom comes, when he will judge their cause. Yet until that time, it's our job to help the poor as we can. So that's some of the things that God says about the six kinds of poor.
As believers, we should have hearts that desire to reach out and help those in need. Helping others with their physical needs can often lead to the opportunity of helping them with their spiritual needs, beginning with their need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on six kinds of poverty. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the Why Question with Why Poverty? Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that this program motivates you to study God's Word more, which will cause you to know and love God more. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to The Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I've been your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. We'll say so long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.